Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a kind of wintry version of spring. I have some good news this morning. The good news is with a touch of thankfulness and appreciation to our COVID team who have been doing some digging and delving. And you're allowed to sing this morning, but you must leave your masks on. But there is a caveat attached to singing with masks on, and none of you will have come prepared for this, but if your mask gets soggy, yep, that's it, you need to change it. So maybe next week bring a spare one just in case. And there might be some spares out in the foyer, I think. So sing with great gusto and enjoy the morning. And again, I think express an appreciation to our COVID team of Lynn, Colleen and Judy, ably assisted by David as well, and for all the work actually they have done across the last 18 months or so. Psalm 107, I don't know whether you've read that lately, is an exhortation to praise the Lord for his unfailing love in that he hears the prayers of those in need and saves them. And it starts like this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his faithful love endures forever. And if you have a moment later today, have a read of the psalm. It's a bit long, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's four scenarios through the psalm, scenarios of difficulty, and four times it says they cried in their trouble, "Lord, help!" And he rescued them from their distress. And it's the same expression each of the four times. And then each of the four times it says, "Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." So this morning, as we worship and as we sing again, and I'm really glad, seriously, that I can say you can sing. That is a marvellous thing. But whatever your circumstance, for those of you watching online, welcome to you as well. Welcome to everyone else who's here. Whatever your circumstance, we can take our circumstances to God, and he does hear us and answers, though not necessarily in the way we might hope. But God is with us, and we can praise him as that psalm encourages us to do. So I'd like you all to stand while we sing our first song. One, two, three.
How great are you, Lord? How great are the things that you have done for me. How great are you, Lord, your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are How great is your love, it reaches to the heavens. How great is the heart that sought and rescued me. How great are you, Lord, how great is your mercy. How great are the things that you have done for me. How great are you, Lord, your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord, how great is your love, it reaches to the heavens. How great is the heart that soared and rescued me. How great are you, Lord, how great is your mercy. How great are the things that you have done for me. How great are you, Lord, your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord. It's filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord?
Father God, we praise you and thank you for your greatness, for your love for each one of us, for your mercy, the wonder of your mercy. And Lord, we pray that as we meet together this morning, as we normally do, that we might be attentive to you and your presence in our lives and hear you speaking to us throughout the service, Lord, through the music, through the reading of your word, through the preaching of your word, through our praying. Help us to see you, to know you, to hear you. And empower us, Lord, to live for you day by day. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be safe when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy. Like never before. Oh, my.
You to turn to those around you, give them a wave, an elbow, a fist pump, whatever you're comfortable with. All right?
Peace with you, Jen. Peace with you, DB. Peace with you,
okay? Okay, Sam, we're on, buddy. Okay, so we're going to have some time for the children, for those online and those who are here. So if your name is S-A-M, would you like to come down the front? Hey, look, I'm glad you've got... Can you just hold up what you've got in your hand? Up high, so really up high. What is that? That is a special...
magnifying glass.
And we need that to find clues, don't we? So it's really important because today I've got some riddles. Sam, is your brain ready for riddles? You can get a bit of help from everybody here. Okay, here we go. I'm a body part, but I am not a knee. I'm on your face, and it is what you use to see.
Eyes.
Ah, very smart. What do you say?
Eyes.
Yeah, very good. Okay. I have two hands, but I cannot clap or scratch myself. What am I? That's a bit harder because that's a different sort of... Okay, any suggestions from the floor?
Someone in handcuffs.
Someone in handcuffs? No. We have one in the building. I'm occasionally look at it when I need to. A clock, someone said. Yes. I have two hands. Look at the clock right there. It's got two hands. Ha, ha, ha. All right, here we go. Here's another. I sometimes run... Well, it's got three hands if you count the second hand. Yes. Okay, Sam. Tricky fella. Okay, I sometimes run, but I cannot walk. You always follow me around. Again, this is back to the body. So I sometimes run, but I cannot walk, but you always follow me around. Any hints from the floor? Aaron. Nose, yes. Someone said nose, yes. Some of us have bigger things to follow around. Nose. That's very good. Okay, here we go. You have two, but most chairs have four. Have a look. Yes, legs. All right, well done. You have two, but many grow in hot lands. That's a bit tricky. This one's a bit tricky. Many grow in hot lands. You have two, but many grow in hot lands. That's going to be a bit obvious, Sam, because you probably don't know what a palm is. Palm trees, palm... Okay. Okay. What has lots of people and is called a body? So let's have a quick look. So all these people are a part of a body. Isn't that interesting? When we look at ourselves, we're all connected in, and part of this group of people is called a church. So the body of Christ, a church. Now that's an interesting thing we are going to be looking at today as well. The church is called a body, and so all of us work together in that same way. So today that's part of our theme, as we think about what it looks like to be the body of Christ. Good guessing, Sam, and I'm going to get you to pause with me as I say a prayer for you and those online. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we've got bodies, and our bodies are wonderful things, and they keep us going. And we think of the church as the body, and how we're all together called the body. What does that mean? We thank you that you love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good investigating. Thank you.
I think the church is such an extraordinary thing. You think about however many Christians there are in the world, and those who have gone on before us over countless millennia, and we're part of that. We're just a small, small part of it. Stay seated for this song. You will know it. We're not going to sing it the way we normally do, but that's okay, because we can.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Alleluia. Ask and it shall be.
Morning all. Sorry, caught on my earring. Our reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. One body with many members. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
One of the unusual things about the circumstances of life at the moment is we're not physically taking up an offering, as you all know. But there is an offering basket at the back, which I'm sure you know as well, and people give online as well. We're going to sing the great old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, as our offering song this morning. And I just invite you to take the song and give yourselves to God as an offering, because that is the greatest offering we can ever give God, is to say yes, as Mary did, as Jesus did, and countless others. We give ourselves back to God. So would you stand and sing with us, please? One, two, three. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Blessings all mine.
Father God, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God and give to us in abundance. And Lord, we bring you our offerings this morning, those in Neil's hands and the offerings that have been given online, electronically. And pray, Lord, that you would help us to use them wisely. But more than that, Lord, we offer ourselves to you. Who we are, in all our frailty, in all our giftedness, and say, Lord, please use us today and every day. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take your seats.
Just a couple of quick notices this morning. Young Sam is collecting money, aren't you, Sam? So if you at some stage want to catch up with him after church, he's doing a really good fundraiser, aren't you? And we're going to be generating some funds for that boy towards his, what's it? School. Yeah, nice. And look, after the service also, I'll have a quick chat about the Christmas services coming up this year, just for your information, communication. And Leon is going to come now and lead us in some prayers for others.
Thank you. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
This is a time we bring our prayers for others. But before I go into that, I think that yesterday was a day of commemoration and memory of what happened 20 years ago that has changed our lives, as well as COVID has. But the disaster that happened in New York and what transpired thereafter, we just think about. So as we bring our prayers, let us think about these things as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to give praise and thanks for all the blessings we have shared with our friends and our families. Let us pray for our country, Australia, our leader, Prime Minister, and our state leaders, that you give them wisdom. Let us pray for world leaders and be aware of the fate of Afghanistan and what is going on there. Father, we ask your protection on all those left behind. Let us pray for the Vines Church family, the Leaders Council, the worship team, the pastoral team, Sunday school and the children's ministry, mission and outreach, property team, our minister David Pryor and his family. Lord, give them strength and wisdom to go about their duties. Let us pray for all those who are grieving, who are unemployed, sick and unwell, those who are worried about family and other concerns. I am aware of a neighbour of mine whose granddaughter is aged 4, has a tumour behind her eye, and is this week having an MRI and a biopsy to be taken. Lord, give their family strength, peace and healing. Let us pray for doctors, nurses, hospital staff, volunteers. We thank you for their service. Let us pray also for the families interstate suffering lockdown due to COVID-19. Give them strength and peace. We pray for the bush chaplains of the frontier services as they work with outback families and communities. Father, we thank you for their service as they are there for those who are going through all sorts of strife, through drought, fires, floods, and just the worry of where their next crop is coming from. Let us pray for school chaplains and their ministry within schools. Let us pray for Marge Dredge as she prepares for the meeting with the Australian Church Women and their national conference. Give her peace and strength. Let us pray quietly at this time for those on our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. In the loving name of Jesus, we ask these things. And we all said, Amen.
Thanks, Aaron. Problem with having a big ear and trying to stick my ear in this and manage it with the masks is a bit of a challenge. I wonder how many people have lost hearing aids or earrings as a result of masks. Anybody want to put their hand up and confess? Yes, thank you. Some workplaces, they now accept that if you've got a hearing aid, you don't have to wear a mask because they're sick of vacuuming up hearing aids. But anyway, hey, look, really great to be here following on from Ian and Marge. The last couple of weeks, they've brought to us the centrality of Christ Bible-centered teaching, and Ian did his best rendition of an African-American preacher. I thought that was a pretty good effort. Ian, well done. And last week, active prayer and authentic worship by Marge in a normal pastoral, and just her heart came through. So again, thank you to you both for sharing as we reflect on our values. And today, part of the values we're thinking about is developing people and a warm and caring community. So I thought I'd start with talking about beliefs, actually. And one of the things that, as Christians, we believe, and our beliefs are really fundamental to our values and how we live our lives. Now, that's not surprising, is it? It's a little bit of a no-brainer. As Christians, we believe in a creator God, a God who created the past, is present in the present, and is growing the future, whatever the future might look like. A God who loves us. Psalm 139, I really love that scripture where it talks about, you know, in the darkness there is no darkness, you know, even dark is light. Where God knits us together in the womb, you know, that intimacy, that connection. And part of this struggle we have as human beings is often we look at each other and think, oh, if only I was like such and such, if only I was smarter, more brilliant, younger. And you talk to younger people, they always say, I wish I was older. So it's, I guess there's something about us as human beings, we always long for what we don't have. That can be a point of difficulty. So this idea that God loves us and chooses us to be present with us is really an important one. And on Thursday, Jenny shared at the Spot, the Creative Connections Think Spot, a little poem, and I'll just give you a summary of it. It was called Dust. And the image was, you know, when you think about all the times you dust your house, how many times could you be doing other things and simply dusting your house? You could be climbing mountains, going out for coffee, watching a film, catching up with friends, rather than dusting your house. And the line went something like this. Spending time dusting is wasting because old age is coming, and old age is not a friend. And in the end, we'll die and turn to dust. So it was a little bit of a bleak message, but it was like made me laugh and got quite a few laughs amongst the ladies as they considered, yeah, the life we have a set span. And sometimes the things we get so caught up with in perspective really aren't that important. But the iceberg which we have here is, as you can tell, the beliefs shape our values, and often what we see of someone about their beliefs and values is just often their actions, aren't we? So how we relate to each other and connect with each other gives an indication of what we hold important, what we believe in, what is significant. And it's really important image to understand. And there's many people in the world who have values that are not belief-based in faith necessarily. But they have values based on something. What is it? I'm doing a funeral this week coming, and it's going to be, as most funerals, a very mixed audience. And so it's interesting. Where do people get their values from to make sense of our life on earth? Where does it come from? What does it mean? What is its significance? For me, belief in God that loves me not only now but forever is a significant part of growing my life now. And so it's really interesting. There's a quote from Gandhi. What you believe has power to change lives. And this is his quote. I think, yeah. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. Nice sequence of sentencing. I like that. Now, we might change up some of the words a bit. Maybe destiny's a word we might change up. But the intent, I think, is really quite powerful. And again, it affirms that we're shaped by lots of different stuff. You know, having spent a lot of time in the army, I've had, I think, 15 different commanders. And one of the nicknames of one of the commanders was Satan. So what do you think everybody's experience of that commander was like? Hands up if you thought that was a really warm, well, it might have been warm, but it wasn't really a very encouraging environment. And one of the guys who was the adjutant, who was the right-hand man of the commander, when the commander was leaving on his last day, he was on the phone. The commander's leaving the gates now. He's out of there. He's gone! And they were all excited. So isn't that so sad? And it's just like insane. I mean, talking about influence and leadership, that was a fail. So what was it about this person's values that they so didn't understand? And sadly, that happens too many times. Our core values are things that shape how we do business, shapes our decision-making, shapes attitudes, behavior, shapes our experience. In Ian's definition of our core value was the principles that help us decide what is right and wrong and how to act in various situations. You know, I think it's so important for us to be clear about what we believe so that in whatever environment we're in, it's an instinctive response. We don't have to think, now this $5,000 I've just found in on the floor here that I saw that person drop, should I give them back to them or should I put that in my pocket? Now, when you have clear values, there's no decision-making that goes on with it. Excuse me, you've dropped something. Do I get a spotter's finding? No, but you know what I mean. It's like, and I think that's where people get themselves in so much trouble. Just because someone bats their eyes at you beautifully doesn't mean you have to do anything with them. You know, How many affairs have occurred because people, someone made some eyes at me? So what? If we are clear on our values, that is not even an issue. Nice eyes. Thank you. And I think so many times when people are not clear about what their values are, it becomes a drama. I mean, we look at some of the stuff that in Afghanistan with some of our key soldiers and their failure to live their values, as we would understand what is a part of the moral code of fighting. Again, not having a clearly defined understanding that they just bring every time, not just, I feel like it today. That's the significant stuff about why we smash on about values as individuals and as a church. We're wanting to be consistent. Now, and I think that's really, when we're talking about one of the values here, developing people. We encourage people to discover, develop, and deploy their God-given gifts within the church and everyday living in the wider community. It's a pretty big value, and that was actually the one I reduced. Discover, develop, and deploy are the three key points. I think it's on the next slide, maybe. Go back to the previous question. I've given up on trying to have the remote because it was sliding around everywhere. It was just horrendous. So one of the things we've discovered in this COVID season is there have been many challenges, haven't there? Two questions. What have you found most challenging about the COVID season? So that's a question for you to think about and online. What have you found the most challenging about the COVID season? If you want to turn to the person next to you, have a quick chat, please feel free. Or wave or whatever. What has been the most challenging part of COVID for you? You've got 20 seconds. Look busy. Many, many things. Yeah. All right. So, okay, there's been lots of different ideas. Anybody want to offer from the floor one thing you found the hardest? Masks. Yeah, masks suck. I think I agree. Anything else? Staying home. Yes, thank you, Sam. What other things? Someone said Zoom meetings. I'm not sure if you ever had an experience of Zoom meetings, but they are difficult. Living with uncertainty. Yeah. And, you know, we're not in Europe or England or UK or even interstate. So just imagine how much times 10 that would have been as an experience emotionally. All right, so what new skills or strategies have you learned through this time? Turn the person next to you. 20 seconds. Go on. What have you learned? What have you learned? At home? Write something. Send me a text. I learned lots of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a really challenging time, and I think anybody want to share one of their new skills they've learned? Praying harder. Praying harder? Is that a new skill, or you just added extra emphasis? Okay. Yep. Other stuff? I can't hear you. You've got a mask on. Songwriting. Okay, some people have had some gifts that have emerged. Yep, Aaron? Yes. Look, I have to say that a lot of the stuff we're doing now is a result of new skills. Like if you'd asked me 2 years ago, hey, Dave, let's go online and live stream, I would have said, yeah, okay, you've got a job. There's just so much stuff we collectively as a group have had to discover. When you really sit down and think about it, the amount of change we've had to chop and change on. So if anybody says to you, you can't change, You say, well, actually, I've got 2 years' worth that says I can. We have changed a lot. And our skills have changed a lot. So discovering, and I like the idea that at the Vines we're picking up these three things. Discover, develop, and deploy. I like that word deploy because that's an interesting one too. So discover. And I think one of the things we have is that idea that discovering that people have some really interesting phone tones. Discovering that, that a lot of the stuff we took for normal and as unchangeable really wasn't. And so the amount of flexibility and adaptation we now have. Let's just think of communion. How many different ways have we tried doing communion this year? And I think we've probably found our paper bag rattling version is probably the best. But it's interesting, isn't it? The things we thought were unmovable, unchangeable, we've changed and adjusted on. Developing, and I think one of our mantras at this church was, rather than get it perfect, let's just get it up. So our initial worship services online were pretty basic, but they're up there. Other churches just didn't do anything, but we got something up there, and that was great. And the image we used was build and grow as we go. And this is the next image I like. I'm not sure if you can see it well, but it's a plane being built while it's flying. Now, it's physically impossible to build a plane while you're flying, but I tell you, that's how it felt. For the leadership team and many others. Just trying to discover stuff as we go along. That idea that the metaphor really says that rather than wait to get something perfect, we just get it going, get it happening, get it up there. And I think that's been a significant contribution to certainly our worship services, but so much of the other stuff that went on behind the scenes last year and this year. And all of you are running groups or involved in groups and having to be creative. You know what I'm talking about. I think the other thing that's interesting is that have you grown as a person in this last couple of years, do you think? You know, like we've talked about the different challenges, some of the new skills we have, but have you as a person grown more resilient, how would you reflect on that last couple of years? Are you any different? If there's no difference, well, that's interesting. What does that say? I don't know. It's just for your reflection. Have you changed? Are you different? Have you grown? If yes, how? If no, why not? As a church, we talk about discovering, developing, and deploying our God-given gifts. I really like that. In the army, every bit of training you do is so you are able to deploy overseas at the request of the government. If you do not meet those standards, you are out, or you are downgraded, and then out. And so that's a bit harsh. But in the church, there is no particular standard, is it? We are all deployed. You are the sermon this week amongst your friends. You are the message of whatever the message is this week. And I guess part of the recognition as a church is we want to try and give people some skill sets and training, but in COVID it's just been so hard. So part of that action reflection stuff you do is so important because to grow we need to reflect on what's happening. And that's part of where our values continue to become a part of who we are. I guess the good news about deploying in Australia, it's very unlikely someone's going to kill you for your faith. So that's a bonus. I suppose part of the challenge is most people probably will ignore us. And so that's part of the challenge, isn't it? Like even as a minister trying to do weddings and funerals, I feel I know half the people in the people I'm going to be talking don't have a faith and look at me as if I'm some sort of loony sometimes, which makes it really challenging. Because I don't feel that. For me, faith is the fundamental thing that gives me shape. Because there was a time when I didn't have faith, so I've got some comparison. And so it's like, wow, values and meaning are significant. Beliefs are significant. What do I say to a group of people where I know half of them really don't share that belief? I'm just thankful the person who died did. So that's a connection I have. Where warm and caring community is the other part of our value that we're looking at today. We're a community in which both members and newcomers find a warm welcome and genuine care. Our network of small groups and activities enables people to build deeper relationships with each other by sharing, praying, learning, and loving together. You know, we've heard a number of people talk about the warmth of this place, haven't we? Recently, Trevor did. And we've had others who have also joined amongst us and said, you know, this has been a wonderful trait, not this year or last year, but for decades. So there's some underlying value that you as a community live out that is a part of who you are that not every community of faith has. So that's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's a life-giving thing. And sometimes we think membership is just sort of like, well, we're all the same, like homogenized milk. You know, you stick the milk and the fat together and just blend it together and call it, I don't know, light. Where in the old days, they'd just scrape the fat off the top or the cream and you'd have light milk. So the marvelous things that we've forgotten. But membership is not about simply being all the same. Membership, C.S. Lewis would talk about as being like an organ. We're all different, uniquely different, but we fit together so that we work. And what do we work at? We work at being Christ to others. So you might feel like a liver, or you might feel like a spleen, or you might feel like a big thumb. I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? We are connected as a whole. And I guess another metaphor we could use is family as well. Each member is different, different roles, different functions, different identities. But yeah. So the reading we have today is from Corinthians. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God whose activities, all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. I guess the key word for me out of that thing, that verse, is verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I'm not sure if you consider yourself being a part of the body of Christ for the common good of the rest of us. I don't know how you see yourself. I mean, how do you see yourself? But collectively, you know, it's a bit like sport, and I don't want to go down too many paths too much. But there are times in which you can have some outstanding players, but as a team, they just don't click. And so commiseration for Paul Power people. I understand that. And it's a funny thing, isn't it? Just how it doesn't click. And so for the common good, I guess we're really trying to recognize that we each influence each other. We each have a contribution to make. And I think of, you know, the Paralympians, Dylan Alcott, and just some of their outstanding efforts during those Paralympians, where they collectively just put in so much effort as a team and individuals to make a difference. And Dylan Alcott, he said that when he was a young fella, he was bullied mercilessly, but he had a group of people who gathered around him and cared for him and made all the difference. And so when he won this game, he said he was just so proud of his disability. Wow. because he feels so loved and accepted. Wow. And that's really part of, I guess, our attempt, isn't it? We're trying to be Christ to others. The last two slides really are a definition of church if we ever get confused. The church, a human connection of love, not a building, a lifestyle, not a weekly activity, an act of service, not a service to attend. Church isn't where you meet. Church isn't a building. Church is who you are. Church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. Let's not go to church. Let's be the church. So again, some invitations as we think about the values that we bring to the week that we have and to each other. I'm going to give you a moment just to consider how it is God might use you. Is there someone God is calling you to love or connect with this week? I don't know. What is God bringing to your mind this week about how you might express your love and connection? What's one thing you're taking away, in other words? Just take a moment. If you need to talk to the person next to you, do so. If not, just consider, what is the one thing you're taking away today? Lord Jesus, we thank you that your Holy Spirit you sent to comfort, guide, and lead us. And as the body of Christ in this world, we ask that you would continue to stir us and help us to reach out so that the values that we believe in, that have been saturated in your love, we can share with others instinctively, naturally, every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, David.
I think one thing I'm taking away from today is just the extraordinariness, if that's a word, of the body of Christ and how we are one body. I was chatting with Dennis, pardon me, before the service, and comparing notes, and he was talking about working on the sound desk. And I said, if I had to sit where Dennis is sitting right now, I would flounder incredibly. It would freak me out. And he said, if I had to stand and play your guitar, it would freak me out. And I said to him, that's why you're doing what you're doing, and I'm doing what I'm doing. And God has gifted all of us to be a part of this extraordinary body called the body of Christ. Let's stand and sing. Actually, before we do, I read from Psalm 107 at the start of the service. In verse 3, it says, "For God has gathered the exiles, gathered people from many lands, from east and west and north and south." So we're going to sing "Shout to the North," which expresses that.
Sing to the east and the west, Jesus the Savior.
rain. We've been refined by the power of his name. We've fallen deeper in love with you. You burn the truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south. Sing to the east and the west. Jesus, the Savior to all. Songs again of our God who reigns on high. By his grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south. Sing to the east and the west. Jesus, the Savior to all. Lord of heaven and earth. We will shout to south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus, the Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth.
Go in peace to serve the Lord, knowing that you are loved. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
Before you go.
That's right, I was going to give you a message. Look, just before you clear off, one of the things that we've been talking about last week, or actually for months, let me read this out to you. Christmas Day this year is on a Saturday, and as such, the worship committee has recommended to the leadership team that the Vines does not hold a service on Sunday, the 26th of December. So we've got Christmas Eve, Friday, Christmas Day, Saturday, and then Christmas Sundays on the 26th, Sunday. So it was thought that our Christmas celebrations on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, as usual, will be sufficient for our Christmas worship without having to add a third service on the Sunday. To have three services on consecutive days is a big ask for all concerned. DJP, musicians, sound cameras, IT people. It was felt that the Vines could have two very positive, joyful and memorable celebrations on Christmas the 24th, Christmas Eve, and 25th of December, and that a further service on the 26th was not necessary. Now, we don't really want to vote on this, but can I just get your sense of how you feel about that? So if you're happy not to run a holder service on the Sunday, please indicate. Just put your hand up. If you really would love to do something on a Sunday, put your hand up. Sam, it looks like you'll be here by yourself, buddy. All right, thank you. We'll communicate that. We just wanted to let you know and try and be transparent with what's going on. So we've done a lot of thought and argy-bargy about this, explored a whole variety of plan A, B, C, or Ds. But in the end, I think that will work. All right, thank you.